This episode of Motorsport 101 brought to you by Chef Club. For when you want to out-pizza the hut, it's Chef Club.
Welcome back to everybody to episode 274 of Motorsport 101. May I just say on the record, we do not condone repeated watching of Chef Club for your own sanity and mental health. I'm your friendly host, Dre Harrison. Welcome back to the first of what is a triple block of recordings, everybody. This was King's idea, so if we're all collapsed and half dead by the middle of 276, you can all blame him for it. It was his decision, and I'm standing by that. But in the first block of this, we are going into IndyCar season finale, IndyCar's Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, their season finale, and it was title number 6 for a certain Kiwi. We'll get into detail on that one, and to mark this special occasion, we are also talking about one of these races of the year, according to a man who was so comfortable and so happy with its actual result, he has decided to come to this podcast taping wearing a bathrobe. So I say hi to our resident Napoleon Dynamite / Hugh Hefner expert, Cam Buckley. Hello, sir.
Hello, everyone. You know, it is such a beautiful day. Let me, we get a little bit of this.
Actually got it! Oh my god!
Hang on a minute! Hold up!
He actually committed to the bit! That's perfect!
Yep.
That's splendid, Cam.
That's up there with one of the
Everyone?
Best intros I've had on this show.
Oh my god! He's got the plastic Cheers. Cup!
The plastic cup!
Oh, that is burning up like the gearbox of a Porsche 911 GT3R in the 24th hour.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yes.
You're missing the goat face mask, Cam.
Oh.
It's okay, Chris.
Oh, it's just, it's like if Shannon Sharp suddenly became from Boston and was white. It's great. This is an impeccable bit of viewing here.
Remember, but there is no Boston pizza. There is only a plate of tacos because the Bostonians don't know what pizza is. They're just following an entirely different recipe.
As someone who lives north of Boston, yeah, I can agree with that. We don't know what pizza is.
Yeah. I mean, look, you have so many different suburbs of Boston, like New York City. Hi, King.
You lot are all terrible. We're like 3 minutes in, and we've already seen the greatest intro in the history of the Motorsport 101 podcast, unfortunately. There is nothing that will top this. Like, Cam has now just taken a world record. Like Lewis Hamilton has, and there is now no avoiding this. We have peaked here, it's all downhill from here. Sorry, RJ, you're out of luck. What do you got for us?
I've got a Barber Motorsports Park / Vintage Museum coffee mug to give myself some energy before the podcast. Triple podcast recording! 3 minisodes this week of recording.
Not one, not two, well, actually 3.
Not 5, indeed. Not 6, not 7, not 8.
Oh, no, really, not 8.
Not 8 either. King, talk to me. How's it going over there? Restore some decorum to this podcast, please.
Well, I know RJ did his civic duty last week. I did my civic duty this week. By the time we do another episode recording, we probably going to know who the next president of the United States is. So
I was going to say, I did mine as well.
Yeah.
Go out and vote, people.
I did mine
Please
last
vote,
week.
People. Well done, everybody. Please vote if you can. Us Brits can't vote. We can only wince at the fear and anxiety of knowing what's about to happen. We have similar problems. Only ours is blonde and fat. Well, also fat. But anyway.
Also blonde.
And yeah, that's I had him more as a strawberry blonde personally, but you know, that works too.
For those of you watching, we also have the disembodied voice of Christopher DeHardy, who is joining us from where?
I am in podcast room number 1 in the 4th floor of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Media Center because today
this motherfucker.
Look at this fancy ass bitch.
Excuse me, thank you.
Boston!
As I speak, Scott McLaughlin is completing another phase of his rookie test, or at least he probably did a little bit earlier. And Takuma Sato and Joseph Newgarden are testing out aerodynamic bits to try and make next year's Indy 500 a bit better.
All right. That's good. Okay. We'll talk about all three of those dudes. And that's
Only thing I'll say is this. The last time I was up here, we had a massive massive meltdown with Dre with the Fernando Alonso missing the Indy 500 reveal. I don't think we're going to have that today.
Nah.
I said those walls could tell.
Yes. And soundproof walls, too, because these walls around me are soundproof, and I tell you what, they've done a really nice job bringing this up here. This space back here in this part of the media center wasn't being used for very much, so this is really nice.
Fantastic.
Show off. The man's got a soundproof booth at a racing circuit. I have a king-sized bed and shirts on the wall. Like, he's one up to Cyril again.
I can't even put
look,
my shirts on
your bed's bigger
the
than
wall.
Mine is, all right?
I have to hang my shirts over the door because I can't hang them on the wall because there is no wall space back here.
See, King's living out Eiffel.
What do you mean? King's living out his dream of becoming Eiffel 65.
yeah, somebody's got to turn up the warmth filter on some of us here today.
Now, all the warmth is on my stream right now from where my light is now. I just sucked it out of all three of your
feeds. You're glowing from
There's
the Dre. Warmth.
Dre's got some back. Dre's took some back.
You're glowing from the warmth of having drank a shot of Hennessy like a minute into this recording.
Right.
I'll do
right.
it again. You watch.
while Cam decides to promptly not do that, I'll quickly run down where we go through. Also, my ring light has a warm feature, so now I'm now like orange and stuff. It's great. Basically, you can find us real quick. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. Hi, if you're watching us on there. Subscribe, hit the bell, you know, get all the notifications when we're next uploading stuff. It's all fun on there. Also, all our Twitter handles will be on the screen as well if you're watching this on there. That's our Twitter handles all on there. They'll also be in the description down below, as well as if you're going to be listening to this show, you can find them at Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, at Ryan Eric King, at CBuckley917, and at Chris's motherfucking fancy road podcasting recording room. Also at Cedar Harding. I think the other one's his burner account. We're also our podcast show itself is at Motorsport_101. You can follow us on there. You can also follow us on Instagram at Motorsport101Pod. I'm still frankly trying to negotiate King very hard for the blooper that was on episode 273. tweet him. You might be able to have him cough up the footage. Promise you'll send him a nice white
Do
tight
it,
shirt.
King. No.
Like any
I think King needs to deliver.
I agree. I think you should give the people
what
they want.
Me a good enough trade package for me to be like, yeah, I'll release the footage.
You're gonna
King,
get cash considerations.
You're gonna get King, payroll flexibility.
King, I will offer you Odell Beckham Jr.'s one remaining good kneecap in exchange for that video footage. I think it's a fair trade.
Too soon. No? You know D is
a Jets
win. Like this, right?
A Jets win.
You know none of you can promise that.
I guarantee it.
I believe one of your quarterbacks once said that.
My team almost gave the Jets their first victory of the season, which would have meant we would have had to inherit all of the Jets' losses and forfeit our wins.
that would be like just automatic like disqualification from the playoffs right there. That would have been a
we are bowl
punishment.
Ineligible. We are not eligible for bowl season.
Yeah, my football team. Well, really, our football team, Dre. Well, I'll say that a football just went flying past my house. I think
Cam
Newton's practicing again.
Yeah.
Shame I wasn't outside to grab the interception.
Get out of my head, Buckley. You can find us on there. If you really, really like us, you could back us financially on Patreon. Patreon.com/motorsport101. $5 gets you early access to all of our audio shows. You can upgrade to 10 for the video versions, as well as being in the supporters club of our Discord server where you can listen to these shows live as they're being recorded. Shout out to Vince, Charles, and Zoe as well for sticking in and watching. Thank you very much. Hope you guys enjoy the triple block. we're going to be going through for the next 2 hours or so. You can find all those details and a whole lot more on our website, motorsport101.com. And there's a special feature on there written by yours truly regarding a certain Formula One driver's misdemeanors this past weekend. More on that on episode 275 next time around. Without further ado, let's get into the IndyCar season finale, the final round of the championship at St. Pete.
7 months ago, when our world was plunged into chaos, the IndyCar series was in St. Petersburg, Florida, and so was Chris, for what should have been its 2020 season opener. But in this strange season where nothing was certain, it became the season finale in the sight of a championship showdown between five-time champion Scott Dixon and reigning two-time champ Joseph Newgarden, where just 32 points separated the two drivers with a maximum of 54 available this weekend. Newgarden's sensational double overtake around Colton Herta and Alex Palou was the race-winning move in a chaotic season finale that saw pole sitter Alexander Rossi crash out of a comfortable lead. James Hinchcliffe pull a Paul Tracy special after spinning from a podium position. Will Power crashed on his own. Takuma Sato had a ragged race at the expense of Marco Andretti and Oliver Askew. And even the debuting Scott McLaughlin had an incident with your new Rookie of the Year, Rinus Vicay, as their two cars attempted to mate. Hell, even the Honda Civic pace car ran out of fuel after all of this carnage. While Newgarden may have won the battle, it was a third-place finish for Scott Dixon. It was enough for the 40-year-old Kiwi to capture his sixth IndyCar title, drawing him just one away from the great A.J. Foyt with his seven championships. And it's the 13th championship for car owner Chip Ganassi. Although avid readers of the Indianapolis Star newspaper may have been surprised to hear about a sudden departure to Team Penske, if one reads the sub-headlines. And between winner Newgarden and Scott Dixon in third, Patricio Ward capped off an incredible season with a second-place finish, and returning Sebastian Bourdais score a fourth-place finish for a long-struggling A.J. Foyt Racing. So, let's get into it, everyone. What was y'all's reaction to Scott Dixon winning title number six, adding a sits pancake to the stack? Dre Harrison.
Dread it. Run from it. Scott Dixon still arrives. We kind of knew.
Yeah. Death, taxes. Scott Dixon's not blowing a title to Sider. Look. And Scott
the last acknowledged... month being a clown.
I wouldn't go as far as to say being a clown, but there was certainly some pressure there, and Scott acknowledged that in his victory speech. He said, "Look, Newgarden raced us really, really hard to the end, and Newgarden was fantastic the final month of the championship, and he really stepped up another gear and certainly made it interesting to bring the championship to within a conceivable amount. I think it was 16 points in the end. I think it was something like 16 points. So he brought it to within the teens, given that." Newgarden was 60 points out a month ago. So for Newgarden to pull it in and to make a title decider even moderately interesting is an impressive feat in its own right. And it just settles what I've been thinking for the last year and a half. These are the two best drivers in the series, comfortably, you know. And I think Alex Rossi would make it a holy trinity, but unfortunately he's had a lot of bad luck in the last year or so. Not entirely on him, of course. I'd say the majority of it's not on this year.
Yeah, this year was bad, especially considering that this is Alex Rossi's first IndyCar season without a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy to even consider without that. In this particular instance, he did make his own bed because he crashed out of what looked like easy podium, potential win territory.
Potential win. He led 61 laps early on in the race.
Led the most laps. And was the dominant driver on the day until Newgarden worked his way up through the pack, by which time Rossi had already crashed out.
I can't get enough of that pass. And I know I'm saying this not just from the perspective of a guy who is a big Joseph Newgarden supporter, but also from the perspective of that was a lovely pass and an instant award for the Scott McLaughlin Award, who I know it was a rough race for him, but first time on just a few weeks' notice, I think with a full season of test, a full off season of testing under his belt, and
he could have done a lot worse across the weekend.
Yeah, he could have. He could have, you know, done what James Hinchcliffe
done a little better. Well, Dre, tell us about your mans.
Do I have to?
Yep.
Like,
yep. Yeah, it's in the fine print. You got to do it.
Paul Tracy. He was running so well.
Yeah.
He was probably on for a top five finish, and then just. That was maybe the most inconsiderate, dumb piece of driving I've seen in IndyCar all season. What was that? That was a classic re-entering the track dangerously moment. You don't do that.
Like, so uncharacteristic of him, too.
And the way he got in that position as well. He spun on cold tires.
Yeah, he spun under yellow on cold tires and re-entered the race.
Where have we heard that before?
No comment.
2500.
Roberto Guerrero has entered the chat.
Under cold tires, but not only that, like, he was fine. All he had to do was get back on track. He wouldn't have lost the position because they were under yellow. But he re-entered right into someone else's side pod. Jack Harvey's side pod.
Friend of the show, Jack Harvey.
Not our friends of the show plunging into civil war like this.
That hurt. It hurt because we like Jack Harvey here. We love Jack Harvey.
We love them both.
Next thing you know, it's like you don't know Hinch, and he's just straight into the side pod. This was painful. This was just boneheaded driving from James, and he admitted it himself as much on Instagram. He just said, that's that part-timer's rookie mistake there for you, basically, because Hinch can't help but see the funny side even in his own stupidity. On that one, but it was just sheer boneheaded driving, and I think James would be the first person to admit that. Mm. Although I must wonder, I think Ask Off Track this week is going to be a pretty spicy season finale later this week whenever they get around to recording their next episode, because both of them are in the dunce corner right now for services too silly driving. And honestly, being a Sebastian Vettel fan, it's just been that sort of year for me where my boys must spin out at every given opportunity. Thanks.
Even the pace car had enough.
Yep.
Even in the reserve,
there was so many yellows. This is a certified. This is a certified Le Mans 24 hours 2011 moment.
And to think, this is only the second weirdest thing that's happened involving a safety car in the IndyCar series in the last handful of years.
I would say at least we didn't stick some inexperienced executive inside a 700. and some change horsepower Corvette and have him thunderfoot it right into a fucking wall.
Oh, you mean like that Ferrari owner in London who was just thunderfooting his Ferrari and then just floored it, crushed it right in the guardrail.
Taking from the actual London resident in here, that is way more common than you think. Trust me. Wait,
was that in London?
It was.
Was that in London or was that somewhere else? Damn.
It was. It was right over Tower Bridge. Both airbags went off, which is never a good sign. That was very, very London. I was like, oh, look, Sebastian Vettel's come out to play, said Chain Bear, and I immediately almost got into a fight with him. I just literally tweeted him, oh, you better believe that's a paddling. So that was fun. But
Speaking of paddlings, our resident Indy 500 champion was handing out some paddlings, and not in terms of speed.
Rough race for Sato.
Not now.
Not for him, but for the people he hit.
Yeah. I mean, it's rough all around. I mean, it's rough for Marco, who was having a great day. It was rough for Oliver Askew, who looked like he was going to have a fine finish to his tenure at Arrow McLaren SP. But also, it was a rough race for Sato because that didn't reflect well on him, and somehow he still salvaged a top 10 finish out of it. I don't understand anything. But Chris, you said before the season that Scott Dixon had a key to success that he'd never had before. The addition of engineer Michael Cannon, who becomes a first-time champion crew chief.
Michael Cannon's basically a cheat code, almost.
The game genie of IndyCar engineers.
Exactly. Let's face it. When you got Scott Dixon, you've already got a Chico, but when you got Michael Cannon, that's like basically giving your it's almost like giving yourself Ace King in a game of Hold'em.
The way the year played out, I think it played out very much as a Scott Dixon year, where everyone else was making mistakes and tripping over themselves from race winning positions. Scott was always there to capitalize just by keeping his head down.
Oh yeah, like I look back at this results page on the 2020 IndyCar Series Wikipedia. I'm only seeing one finish outside the top 10. It's just like, how did he do that again? How has this man never successfully defended an IndyCar championship? That's the one thing he's never done in his career. Because he's sure as shit done everything else.
Yeah, he's never defended, and that shared that. And he shares that statistic with the person he beat, who can never defend the one, but always seems to reclaim the one.
Joseph had a great season, all things considered, to surge the way he did in the last month of the season, make it as close as he was. Look, I say this as the resident New Garden supporter of this podcast, but the fact that he made it close, I wasn't expecting him to overturn the title on the last day of the season. It would have been pretty cool, but I'm not impressed that he didn't. He made it close, and considering how Scott Dixon started the year off, that's still mightily impressive.
I think he got it as well. He got it down to 16 points, and that was despite Penske's pretty miserable Indy 500.
Oh, yeah.
Where their fate was kind of sealed in qualifying, even if they had pace in the race. Whereas Dixon, of course, dominated the 500 until the late stages when Sato was able to pass and then fight him off.
And I want to give a shout out to our resident podcast mom, Zoe Hamilton, who was crunching the numbers of how this would have played out without the Indianapolis 500. And Scott Dixon's championship would have been even more dominant if not for Indy. That's amazing. Yeah.
Which is just, when you consider how important Indy is, being now the only double points race, the double points finale is gone.
Probably for the best, that, quite frankly.
Definitely.
Juan Pablo Montoya has approved this change.
Oh, dear. No, very true indeed. This was a very chaotic season finale for IndyCar. It was almost missing one last crescendo right at the end of that last maybe 10 or so laps of green flag running. We almost had it a couple of times.
I have to give a shout out. Patricio Award is the real deal.
Oh, God.
He threw the house at Joseph Newgarden in those final stages.
He
tried everything. He was all up under him. And once Newgarden settled into a pace, there was just nothing he could do. Newgarden pulled away. Dixon didn't need to do any more than third. So he just held station.
He held station.
Why risk it?
He wasn't going to risk it. Bourdais was running really well directly behind him and four for four. He's not going to try and scupper
your
that.
Man's.
Yeah. Your man's.
Looks like even he's able to, get some top finishes for the fourth.
At his home track, no less. I can't believe it's not the Copenhagen special of days gone by.
RJ, get out of my head.
I don't even like it in there. But I look at this table. I see Colt Herndon third and Patricia Warren fourth. And I'm thinking, these dudes are going to win a lot of races, and they're going to be legitimate championship contenders coming into 2021. I have all the confidence in the world. We've seen Herndon raise his game to a new level. And Patricia Award, I told everyone if he was to get a full-time ride in a competitive team that he was going to turn a lot of people's heads and impress a lot of people, and he did.
Confession. We saw the flash last year with Carlin. We saw it in COTA. Even if that was really a one-off in terms of form, because, that team was grabbing parts out of the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
And he was excellent. Now he's got funding, he's got a team behind him, and he is just... He has every box ticked. The win is coming.
It is crazy that, he's narrowly missed out on two of them this season as it is, and... These were the two guys that came out of the Hohensteinbrenner team last year as rookies and floated around there, and the first year of them both getting full-time backing and proper resources, and they're third and fourth in the championship. That's absolutely bonkers. We mentioned it during the Indy Harvest season that if this is the future, the sport is in very, very safe hands, and the future is now. I mean, we're talking that we should be talking about.
Say they're here.
That's pretty much what Joseph said. Like, oh, Pato, he's the future. Well, he's here right now. I'm a big Pato fan.
Fourth in the championship, Joseph. He's here right now. Like, what more are you waiting for? It is crazy.
I mean, those two, I mean, Herta leading all the Andretti's in his second full-time year.
Mad impressive.
That's unbelievable when you consider the caliber of driver there. Ryan Hunter-Reay, Alexander Rossi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very much so. Very much so. A chaotic finale in the end, and tops off what has been an absolutely bonkers IndyCar season. I mean, Chris, what have you made of it all? Being, you know, obviously closer than any of us to the action, as well as getting to exploit soundproof booths for the first time in a while. So, how's it been for you, man?
It was honestly, if you could put 2020 as a race, really, you could almost argue that half the weekend was like that, because you had the craziness that was St. Petersburg with Power with the downshifting issue. You had Rossi spitting from the lead. You had rain. I don't even think we mentioned that.
I didn't even mention as well. Sorry to interrupt, but Will Power got another pole.
And then his car threw
it into the trash.
He's five away now from Mario Andretti on the all-time pole list.
My man was hot after he crashed out of that race, and I don't blame him for a bit.
And
his car looked atrocious.
Oh, man. And then Marco, with his situation, he must have gotten, like, the super Wheaties that morning for breakfast, because he was driving like he was possessed, and I want to see more of this from Marco, but I just, where was this? And it was also for that leader circle.
We ask this every year.
I know, I don't understand it, but like, he was fighting for that leader circle money, because they were trying to. He was, I think, the last car in line for that spot, and I think the number 20 car, the number 20 entry rather, got that leader circle money ahead of him. Mm-hmm. Man, that was frustrating, because when he had that incident with Sato, he was in the top. I think he was almost in the top five, actually, when that happened.
Yeah, he was running edge of the top five. And yet we say it every year with Marco, because we know that the talent is there. He shows it, you know, two or three times every year he has a great race. Unfortunately, more often than not, it goes to waste and not of his own volition.
Yeah, like, I hate it, because, you know, the Andretti name is a big name, but the results just have not been there. Like, his last podium, I think, was at Fontana in 2015. I mean, I want to see him put together podium pace. Yes, I want to see him put together a full race again, like what happened at Iowa when he won, you know, that time, or at Fontana. I want to see that again.
Absolutely.
Please, come on. Show
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. He had that speed in Indy 500 time trials. That was one of the better moments of the season. One of the better moments of the season, so much that IndyCar actually put it on a poll of the four best moments of the season for those of you following on Twitter at this moment in time. But yeah, that was costly, because missing out on the top 22 in owner points means missing out on $1 million payout for next season. And that could count for up to 20% of your budget. So that's devastating.
Oof.
Ironically, it was Bourdais that flipped that result. But man, what a race. What a damn race we had. Cautions were making caution babies all over the place at one point during this one.
Yeah.
Oh, and we had a
Indy cars. We're trying to make Indy Lights cars.
Welcome back, Indy Lights, for 2021.
Yay!
We're happy to have you.
Yes. Also, talking about 2021, Ganassi is going to definitely have some things stay the same, but obviously one big, massive change, because over the weekend, it was announced, too, Jimmy Johnson's sponsor is going to be for next year, Carvana.
Ooh.
Carvana Chip Ganassi Racing.
This is the online used car sales company.
Yes.
Carvana, that's going to sponsor Jimmy Johnson. Now we know the Marcus Ericsson is back with Husky Chocolate Chip Ganassi Racing in the 8 car. And that makes an additional car, and it's implied that the number 10 car now vacated by Felix Rosenquist will be filled, but by whom?
Well, if rumors are to be believed, share it across half the IndyCar grid.
Take your pick.
Ryan King! Ryan King is going to be driving the 10 car.
Yeah. Sure, why not? he might need a pillow in his seat afterwards.
Get in the sim and go work on your fucking pit entries, King.
It's not that bad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes. If you're in our Discord and you've not seen Ryan King play iRacing, oh boy, you're in for a treat. If that's not a reason to join the Discord, I don't know what is. Ask King for an invite and let's see if he doesn't block you first.
In fact, King, this week coming up, if I remember right, the Indy Pro 2000 cars are at Gateway. So if our road eye ratings are close enough, we might be racing against each other this coming week.
Probably not.
Oh, oh.
If we finish in time, 2 hours, well, roughly a little over 2.5 hours from now, IndyCar is racing at Kansas.
Okay. Can't wait to tell you how that goes on episode 277. Oh yeah, Rinus VK is back at ECR, which is a good decision. Yep. We like Rinus, which gives us an opportunity to post the GIF.
Post the GIF.
It's like when the Gators Daily account every Friday asks us to roll the clip. That's basically
DJ,
us.
DJ, drop that track for me.
Post that GIF. Yeah.
How was my spin?
Yeah, there it is. There's the GIF going in the Discord. So yeah, lots of uncertainty going into 2021. We have some guys signed, some guys aren't. It's going to be an interesting season. I don't know how to feel about it
because, well, we won't know what it's going to look like until it happens.
Yeah.
That's true.
We won't know what the centennial season of the national championship will look like until we start the centennial season of the national championship.
Well, when you put it like that, King, I mean...
it's going to be a reoccurring theme through every form of motorsport, and it's just something we're going to have to get through.
Well, if it's anything like the centennial running of the Indianapolis 500, is that it's never settled until the final moments of the final lap. Sorry,
JR. Sorry, JR Hill. Oh, you read my mind, RJ.
Awful.
Cam, I'll give you a couple minutes to brag and boast about your boys winning, not the Spa 25 hours.
Don't give him more reason to drink, please. Dear God. We got two more of these coming.
God. Nick
Tandy. Oh, God.
Earl Bamber. Lawrence Vanther. Royal Racing. Hennessy Kodak.
Oh, you love to see it. Woo!
Spa.
Oh, my goodness.
Wet.
Spa. Spa Francorchamps delivered.
Just letting the people know on Twitter that Cam is tweeting right now in a bathrobe while drinking Hennessy, talking about Spa. I'm letting the people know. carry on, that might make.
We have breaking news on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Dragon Speed is shuttering its IndyCar program.
Damn!
That stinks.
Oh. Damn it!
I mean, I know they were in dire straits, but damn, that sucks.
It sucks. Unfortunately, when you show up to the 500 every year and are, well, a danger to yourself and others.
And apparently they've sold their chassis to the expanding Meyer Shank Racing team.
Okay. So that's something to follow there. You get an expansion of Meyer Shank.
Given how impressive she was in the girlfriend's esports race, can we bring Jack Harvey's missus on as well to make it a two-car setup?
Let's do it.
It's my time. It's my time. I'm taking over. Nick Tandy is the truth.
We knew this already.
The Tandy Man can, because he mixes it with lava, makes the race taste good.
All week, in fact, all year, the new Porsche GT3, slightly updated for this year, just been kind of whatever. Hasn't really accomplished much, but that's okay, because they up and win the biggest GT3 race in the world.
That's not the Suzuka 10 Hours. RIP the Suzuka 10 Hours.
No. Nothing is the Suzuka 10 Hours. I will visit Suzuka for an endurance race one day, whether it's on four wheels or two wheels. Yet to be seen. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. It pissed.
A lot.
The Belgian skies pissed everywhere.
Modestly
we had people
moist.
Going off left, right, and center. It was a juicy night at Spa. Mm. And in fact, the track was most dangerous when it started drying out, and if you went an inch offline, your car would just snap and send you right into the wall, which took out multiple contenders. A couple really nasty incidents across the race that, thankfully, everyone's okay.
Yeah, thank
but,
goodness.
But when you crash at Spa, it's never small. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, everyone ended up okay. The final 4 hours. The rain got heavier. And Nick Tandy and another one of his signature clutch stints just went to town on the field. He was 3.5 tenths of a second, on average, faster than the next closest driver. The driver that ended up finishing second behind him, Mr. Patrick, is it Niedenhauser?
Patrick Niederhauser.
Niederhauser.
A guy who has raced in GP3 series, now Formula 3.
Yeah, and has been superb all year in the various GT classes. ADAC GT, he's been a star. Well, Niederhauser was half a second clear of everyone else.
Yeah, so they
Niederhauser
the only dudes.
Showed him. He showed him a Saiyan that has ascended beyond a Super Saiyan. Tandy showed him what it means to go even further beyond.
For a baseball analogy, this is just like if you just pulled Corey Seager and Randy Rosarena out this World Series and just have them throw up, play a home run derby. For funsies. Why the hell not?
And as if that wasn't enough with Tandy running down everyone in the final hours, we had differing strategies. Audi should have had an advantage, but Tandy held him off until two laps to go. Mm. And with two laps to go, well, the Porsche tried to clock out early. They split the gearbox casing, and it pissed all of that row oil right out.
It was throwing up an oil slick for everybody. It's genius. It's like
word straight out of Speed Racer circa 1968.
My dude, this is like getting the multiple banana power-up in Mario Kart and just waiting for everybody to run in the back of you to spin on the banana peels. It's great.
Yeah, with two laps to go, the car starts making all kinds of noises. There's no more oil in the transmission. And as it turns out, Tandy was faster, not being able to mat it on the straightaways, and with the car sounding like a bolts in a blender.
How?
And everyone else was slipping in his oil in the pissing rain.
He don't miss.
This
he
is just
don't
like,
miss.
Just like the 1963 Indy 500 when Pinelli
Indy 500.
Jones leaked a bunch of oil out of his oil tank and a bunch of people slid in his oil trying to catch him.
Oh, man.
Oh. Justice for Jim Herdebees' Novi, who got disqualified early in the race for the same thing.
Nerds.
Fuck you, Sack. But, man. What a race. It had everything.
It had everything.
It had drama, it had weather, it had great on-track battles. And at the end of the day, Tandy parked that car up in Park Ferme, and it just started bleeding everywhere.
It's like, guys, damn, I wet myself.
You can't script it. This year's a win. I don't care the Porsche has sucked in GT3 otherwise. It's a win.
Yeah, Yeah, that's pretty much the attitude that Nismo had when they won this weekend's Super GT race from the back of the grid. Sugio Matsuda had a massive crash coming out of Dunlop Corner. His car caught air skipping over the gravel trap. He's lucky he didn't get hurt. He's lucky that car wasn't written off for the weekend.
I say,
all
signs going into the race, we thought that car was written off.
As a matter of fact, thanks to a well-timed safety car intervention, they come out and win the race, Matsuda and Ronnie Canarelli, from the very back of the grid. If you are subscribed to the race's YouTube channel, you should go back and watch that race. It is a great time. Final note, in our latest segment of Karma Isn't Real and Doesn't Apply to Good People, Kyle Larson is in the number five car, like some of us expected slash feared.
He got the franchise number, for God's sake.
We should bring back the five car as one finger curls on the monkey's paw.
You know, I think, you know what I think would make this all better?
What's that?
If the number three and the number five car next year reenacted the end of the 1999 Bristol race, and the number three just rattled Larson's cage a little bit.
I can't believe this
still
is
won
how
that
we
race,
turn
though.
I still can't believe we're turning Austin.
No, you're Hill. Thinking of the I'm earlier not, one.
Not, yeah, I'm thinking about the earlier one, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, we have to talk about multiple incidents of Dale Earnhardt just sending Terry Labonte to the Shadow Realm at Bristol.
Look, man.
Difference is, I'll be cheering this time.
Man, we talked about it at length last week. It's good that Kyle Larson, on the surface at least, seems like he's putting in the work, but this is going to take time for him to get back a lot of this trust, and for some folks, he's never going to get that trust back in people, and for him to go straight up to not just a good ride, but a elite ride.
The best Chevy team.
That kind of does, well, that kind of feels like
I put it
not fair.
I said it a lot last week. If he's give him his career back, what the fuck ever. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But for him to fall up in the world, or rather for this to have be no repercussions whatsoever because he wasn't going to, or he was going to go to Hendrick, it seems, anyways.
Yeah. Like, it seemed like it was sort of a time and place thing where Jimmy Johnson was retiring. Rick Hendrick was looking for the most skilled driver available, and someone became available through the most abhorrent means possible.
Sabbatical!
Yeah, and this was... Yeah, yeah, he took an accidental gap year, got the seat that he looked like he was already going to get, and we're all just kind of sitting here watching like, man, if I said something like that to one of my supervisors at work, I don't think I'd be getting promoted.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be their boss.
Well, like, he did get fired, so...
He got fired,
but it looked
like he was
going to
leave
anyways. He got fired from a good job and got hired to a great job.
Yeah. You, you can't quit. I've already fired you. Well, I already have a better job. It stinks.
Thankfully,
and I'm tired of talking about it.
If
I want to move
is,
on.
The only thing I'll say is this. I hope he is a better person, but he's going to be looked at like a hawk from all angles. So, yeah, be
well,
better.
NASCAR has made that very clear as well, that he is going to have to continue doing all the work that he has started doing until at minimum 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is on effective probation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got an awful lot to add it that I didn't say last week. I, as a person, am at my core a believer of second chances, but Carl's got a lot of work to do, and it's more than understandable that people are never going to give him that second chance ever again, as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad that he's going to be kept under very close eye. He should be, as far as I'm concerned, because... Oh, yeah. He has made a horrendous, in many cases, and in many other walks of life, a career-ending boo-boo. And
threw the sport into disrepute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
he did.
He did.
This while NASCAR was trying to repair some of that classic NASCAR image.
Now, the thing is, you gotta remember that this did happen before, you know, what happened to George Floyd. If it happened a month later, it probably would have ended up a whole lot different for Kyle Larson.
As I tweeted, he killed his career on the Christian holiday known for resurrection.
God damn it.
And in the 7th month, he rose again. Drive the 5 car, which hasn't been relevant in 25 years.
And good also, I think it goes without saying, this car will not have any external sponsorship. it will be sponsored by HendrickCars.com, as far as we know, because, well, ain't no sponsors touching that with a 39.5-foot pole. Yeah, nobody wants a sponsor.
I could think of some sponsors who may want to jump on board, but they're products that I may not want to purchase to begin with. We're at 45 minutes in anyway, and thank goodness we don't have to talk about any more uncomfortable subjects in the next. Oh, God, we're going to Portugal next.
One more thing, by the way, if I may. As of this moment, the NASCAR race still hasn't gotten going again.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's right. This is our one last thing here. We had a race scheduled for Texas Motor Speedway, scheduled for Sunday.
Yeah, it still hasn't started. It's Wednesday.
No, it started on Sunday. Harvick tagged the wall, but then it rained on Sunday, delayed to Monday. Rained on Monday, delayed to Tuesday, rained on Tuesday. Now it's supposed to be on Wednesday. But the race still hasn't got back going again. And it's actually just after 4 o'clock Eastern time.
And not only that, the Xfinity teams are already in Martinsville.
2020, everybody.
Maybe this is a sign from God we shouldn't be racing at Texas anymore.
Maybe so. And on that note, we'll run for the hills and brace ourselves for our second questionable moment of the podcast recording. In the meantime, I've been Dre Harrison, they've been RJ O'Connell, Ryan King, Chris DeHarday, and CBuckley917. Check Chris out on Twitter if you haven't already at CDeHarday. You know the places you can find us, they're all down in the description down below. We'll be back very shortly for episode 275 on Formula One's return to Portugal and the Portimão Grand Prix. Till then, sayonara.
Later, y'all.
Bye.
I don't have anything to add that I didn't already say on the podcast.
Now I gotta drink another shot of Henny.
No, we got two more shows to do.
How? You know how long we're gonna be here for, right?
No, actually, this time, some Captain Morgan.
Oh, God, someone help. Jesus! Can't put the fucking bottle down!